I don't know. I never thought it was an option. I didn't mm-hmm. know how people did it. I think just part of that comes with life experience. I mean, I think what I didn't realize is that when you love something, you're going to work so much more for
it. Yes. Yes.
Because I think it feels less mm-hmm. like work.
Hi, and once again, thank you for listening to Successfully Unsigned, a music business podcast all about getting you, a rookie, DIY, emerging artist, the information you need to make it in the music industry. As always, if you haven't already, hit that like and subscribe, hit the bell here on YouTube, rate us on your favorite streaming platform, and follow us online at successfully_unsigned on Instagram and other social media, along with Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. Today, we have an interview with a local pop artist, Julia Adrian, where she discusses her music and how she's tied a number of her songs together with a common theme, one of which is the cab theory, which honestly I was unfamiliar with before she described it here in this episode, and I think is something you'll find just as intriguing as I have. We want to know your thoughts on this conversation, so let us know down in the comment section or on Instagram, TikTok, or on our website, su-podcast.com. You can reach out to us at any of those places. We would love to hear from you about this conversation, other conversations, or who you would like to see on our show next.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned, y'all.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
There's an elephant in the room.
There is.
And for once, it's not Dale.
Dang! Starting off with some burns here.
I really thought hard about that one. Not gonna lie.
I appreciate the pun.
Of course, yeah. Of course. Today we have Julia Adrian here with us, and I am so excited. By the way, that was a Julia Adrian reference. She has a song called "Elephant in the Room." Go stream it. Anyway, so I'm so excited that you reached out. So Julia and I actually met. Like your first or second week in Nashville?
It truly was. I was kind of going to, I don't know, as many events as I could.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, my average was 5 or 6 a week. And yeah.
Oh, wow. I was doing good with like 3 to 4.
I mean, this was for like the first couple of months. Yeah. I was really just, I kind of wanted to hit the ground rolling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was one of my first weeks in Nashville.
Yeah.
One of my first rounds. I think it was
like, yeah, something like that. We actually met at Swift Artists.
But
go watch our Swift Artist show.
Oh, absolutely.
With Isabel and Natalie. Love them. Yeah, so I just take us from the beginning. I feel like there's a lot to go through. You have like a lot of articles about you. So I was like doing all the research. I got quite a few notes.
Oh my gosh, look at you.
So you're from Boston, right?
I am from Boston, okay. Originally. Yeah. Like outside of Boston, but yeah.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And then you moved to New York. And you worked in corporate law. Move to New York? Work for law?
I did, yes. So, okay. What's the whole scoop? I went to college in Connecticut. So okay. I went to college at Trinity College.
Okay, so you've kind of been everywhere.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I've lived a few lives.
Yes.
Just because they've been so different.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I went to school at Trinity College in Connecticut and then, you know, did my semester abroad in London, came back and was ready to do my senior year. COVID hit.
Okay.
During my senior year. And, well, that was that. And, then I was trying to find a job, in law. So I majored in, public policy and law mm-hmm. and minored in music. And then obviously no one was really hiring during COVID, especially, mm-hmm. you know, in my field. A lot of my friends were teachers and they had jobs and I was just kind of trying to figure it out. But I had this job previously set up to work in New York.
Okay.
They had delayed it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, this isn't happening. So I got a job in Boston, lived in Boston for about 4 or 5 months, like in the city.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the job said, hey, you can actually come to New York. So I went to New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long were you in New York?
For about 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, mm-hmm. So you were there for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, and so when, I don't know a ton about law, so corporate law, so do you have to go to law school and take the bar and all that, or
so
is it different?
I was a paralegal.
Okay.
So I was kind of at the point where I was deciding whether or not to go to law school.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I know, that does, I kind of confuse people a little bit with that.
No, it's okay. Like I said, I don't know anything about it, so that's why I wanted to ask.
So fair.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Fair. Okay, so you leave New York.
I leave New York.
Why do you leave New York?
Well, The program that I was doing was kind of a 2-year program. So the idea is that you either go to law school or you go on to another job or whatever you do. And listen, rent was expensive in New York.
I'd imagine so.
And I was unsure of my next move. So I moved all my stuff home to Boston for about a month. Actually, no, that's a lie. I moved my stuff home. Then I went to LA for a month.
Yes.
Yes, okay. I did that. It's hard to keep this timeline straight, you know. it was very chaotic. Went to LA for a month. My kind friend let me stay on an air mattress in her house apartment. And then I had been thinking about coming to Nashville. So I'm going to go on so many tangents. I'm sorry. I cannot be succinct.
Yeah.
I had come to Nashville 2 times before to record vocals for my songs because the producer I was working with lived here.
Okay.
So I had been here twice. And I had just kind of gotten a good feeling about it every time I had come. And felt that people were just really kind and friendly from who I talked to. And just like, you know, the first time I came here by myself because I was just coming to record vocals. And I went out by myself. Like, I just went and got, I was like, what am I going to do, sit in my room? Or am I going to go and grab dinner and walk down Broadway and explore? So that's what I did.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, there's been a lot of that, pushing myself outside of my comfort zone to do things on my own. But yeah, so I had this kind of gut feeling about Nashville. Of course, you have people in tons of different ears being like, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. Whatever, whatever, whatever. So originally, I thought I was only going to be here for like 3.5-4 months. That's what the lease I signed was for.
Okay.
Shipped a bed in a box down, shipped my car down with my stuff in my car. And then I just kind of ended up falling in love with it.
Okay.
And really, I felt like I was making more progress here than I had been anywhere else. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and when you went to LA for a month, were you just going to visit or were you
thinking about moving? I was trying to make things happen.
Okay.
Yeah, I was considering LA as a place to live. And I really just kind of wanted to write with people, make connections, talk to people. It was a little bit hard to do within the month. But I did have some really great experiences and met some producers out there, went to some events, figured out what the networking events out there were, or just kind of like, you know, the spots to be in Hotel Cafe and Silver Lake Jams, I think it is. And, you know, so yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so what was that? What was kind of the feelings, reception, thought process behind leaving this like very like law, which is very like, ooh, fancy,
stable.
Yeah. To going into a music career. I mean, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the other thing too is you kind of get to breaking points, you know, or just, you know, like decision points, crossroads, whatever. And I was like, okay, law school's going to be there. If I decide that that is my path, it will be there.
Okay.
But this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do music. I've always wanted to perform. I've always been a musical person. And I think, you know, throughout the years, it's hard when people are like, you know, it's not realistic. It's not possible. It's not doable. It's just, why are you trying? You shouldn't do that, X, Y, and Z. So I just kind of had ruled it out as not an option to do it, you know, kind of full time.
Right.
I did originally go to New York with the idea that I'd be able to do some music on the side.
Right.
Of course, working in corporate law.
Not a lot of time.
There's not a lot of time outside. Yeah. It's more of a like bring your laptop to dinner and, you know, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a lot of people in my life who just don't necessarily, like, they're supportive, but they don't get it.
Okay.
And they don't get how it's going to work, and they don't kind of, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's really hard to understand if you're not in it and doing it, I think. But, I mean, most everyone in my life is very supportive of me. And, my parents, of course, are, you know, they're very supportive, but, you know, they
concerned.
Were
concerned.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, they were definitely like, what you doing? Mm-hmm. But I mean, ultimately, they just want me to be happy. So.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Well, growing up, so you mentioned you've always been a very musical person. Mm-hmm. So
totally,
you were in musicals. You were in an a cappella group. You performed at festivals. Can you like talk some a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Also, absolutely. I saw you were Heather Duke in Heather's the Musical.
I was. Yeah.
That is like I feel like that is so many theater kids' dreams. Heather's the Musical. Like I remember when you couldn't stream it,
Heather's.
And I literally had to listen to it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Fantastic. Anyway, so good. I actually saw it when I was in London too. So I saw the live. Yep. And it was so cool when I did that. So it was my freshman year of college. Mm-hmm. So I obviously wasn't expecting to get a lead, but yeah. I was really excited. They brought in this, you know, like professional photographer and videographer.
Heather Duke is the green one, right?
She's the green one. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And what was so funny is that I had auditioned for a production of Heather's that summer,
mm-hmm.
but I was sick at the callback.
Oh,
so
no.
I actually ended up not, well, I mean, not that that's why, but you know, like I didn't get the yeah. part that summer, but I was called back for Heather Duke, which is really funny because then that's actually the part I got
yeah.
In college. But yeah, so I grew up loving performing. I danced for 15 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I, you know, I took musical theater voice lessons. I okay. took pop voice lessons. I would go to a recording studio in Boston every week. And
for how long?
Oh, gosh.
How old were you, I guess?
High school, starting high school.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And
wow,
I
very cool.
did songwriting workshops. I did performance workshops. And it was through that studio that I got a lot of performance opportunities. And, you know, they kind of had little connections where you bypassed the first round of the voice. You got mm-hmm. to do the callback and, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, that was really cool to be able to do. So yeah, I did musical theater voice lessons. I did pop voice lessons. I was actually in an a cappella group in high school through.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah.
That's cool they had one.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it wasn't through my high school. It was through my
okay.
voice studio.
Okay. But still.
But yeah,
very
still.
Cool.
And then I did, you know, musicals in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be Cinderella in high school.
That's so exciting.
It was really fun.
So the way that you're making it sound, like that to me, if I knew you in high school mm-hmm. and I'm hearing, oh, she's doing all these voice lessons, she's doing all these things, mm-hmm. like my next thought process is, oh, she's going to want to pursue music, and go to college for music. And so can I ask why? Obviously, mm-hmm. I know you talked a little bit about it already, but was there like specific reasons? Like in high school, did you like sit down with your parents or your guidance counselor or whoever and be like, hey, what if I pursued music? Or were you just like, I already know it's going to be a no, so let me just not even mention it?
It's a good question. There was a lot going through my head when I was choosing a college and figuring mm-hmm. out what I wanted to do. I mean, I would go on these college tours and they'd say, so what are you guys thinking of majoring in? And my answer would be, psychology, marketing, neuroscience. Like, I didn't, like, I,
yeah.
you know, and frankly, I could have gone in and, like, I would have probably liked any, well, maybe not marketing, but, like, I probably would have liked any of those directions. But, you know, you know what you want to do. You know what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's all gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's super easy to get lost in it, super easy mm-hmm. to ignore.
Yep.
And I think that's what most people do.
Yep. I started out as an education major and I was like,
there you go.
I actually had
an education concentration under my law.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And luckily I did quit that after the first year, but even then, like, I kind of got like a business degree, but focus in media. And if I could go back, I would probably go back and change it to something a little more creative.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I was just like, well, I don't want to pick something too creative because, like, I want to be realistic. But now it's like, okay, but now I do want to just pursue that stuff. So
right.
I do understand that.
Right.
Yeah. But for me, it was like, I don't even think I really talked to, like, my parents or my guidance counselor about that. And I was just like, oh, I guess teaching because, I don't know, I guess I need to be realistic. And so I wasn't sure if, like, that was kind of your experience. But since you were doing all these different things, I'm like, I would imagine a lot of your peers mm-hmm. were possibly going into drama, acting, music, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, gosh, I can't even remember the exact thought process. I know that the way that I got to my major
mm-hmm.
was that I was kind of taking the classes I found interesting.
Okay.
And at a certain point, it's just kind of the direction I gravitated mm-hmm. towards. And I'm very happy that I did that. I mean, I loved my major. I loved my department. My advisor was incredible. I made some great friends. But I think, I mean, I did minor in music. I think just like, I don't know. I never thought it was an option. I didn't mm-hmm. know how people did it. Yeah. I didn't know.
That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah. And I think just part of that comes with life experience. I mean, I think what I didn't realize is that when you love something, you're going to work so much more for
it. Yes. Yes.
Because it feels less like work, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you love something and when you want to do that so much, it's like that's how I can work. Like wake up at 7 and end my day at, you know, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, 1, right. whenever, you know, like that's kind of how you do it is because you love what you're doing or it's a means to an end or X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. you know?
That was such a good soundbite, by the way. Thank you.
but yeah, I think that's just something I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And being in New York and being at that junction, I was like, okay, why am I not feeling the best I can be right now? Like, why am I mm-hmm. not super happy, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, part of it is the transition from college to real right. world and figuring everything
right.
out.
Right.
But part of it is really just figuring out, I mean, you can like the subject material of something, but you don't like the lifestyle.
Yes.
And
that's a really good, oh my goodness, that's such a good point, yeah.
Because, I mean, I love law. I love policy. I still do. But the lifestyle was something that I was really kind of like, I was like, man, this isn't gearing me towards prioritizing my mental and physical health. Mm-hmm. Whereas I cannot do what I'm doing. I cannot write. I cannot talk to people. I don't even look good in a photo shoot if I am not mentally okay or mm-hmm. there or whatever. Like if I'm overwhelmed, there's no creative energy flowing because all of my thoughts are over here. So your subconscious can't do that work because it's just taken up by, oh, I need to do this and this and this. And oh my gosh, I'm just completely overwhelmed. So, I mean, it's also easy to not prioritize yourself and your mental health. Right. It's not easy doing music or really right. anything around this, but I think this has forced me to trust myself and to really be mindful and aware of where I'm at and to prioritize how I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is actually just really cool.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of that comes with like kind of post-grad life and
yeah.
like just growing up and maturing and realizing like, okay, if I do want to do this thing, like I will have to work hard at it, but I know that I will feel creatively fulfilled and happier if I do. And so I just need to put in the work.
Right.
And so I think that's a really good point and like a really good inspiration. I don't know, like so many things you're saying, I'm like, wow, this is really great advice for artists. So do you miss New York or Boston or anything?
I mean, yeah, of course. There are things that I love about each city that I've lived mm-hmm. in. And I'm actually so incredibly grateful that I've been able to live in kind of so many places. Like,
yeah.
you know, I've Hartford, Boston, New York, London. I don't know. Like, I've been to
yeah.
California a decent amount of times, different parts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really cool to get a lot of different perspectives that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did you choose to not stay in New York and just pursue music because of the pay? Or were you just like, I just need a complete change to try and pursue this?
I think I needed a reset.
Okay. Gotcha.
I really needed a reset. I love New York to death. I do. Mm-hmm.
I can like see you in New York.
Yeah. So, yeah. I know. It's so funny because when I come here, everyone's like, you're so New York. And I'm like, really?
Your shoes were so cool in New York.
Yeah, my shoes were so cool in New York, okay? They were the thing. Now Sambas are the thing. I went back to New York and my friend who still lives there was like, oh, well, Julia, like, here are the trends. Here's what you missed. I'm like, being in Nashville, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like in my little own bubble, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there were sample sales in New York. You could get this $700 dress for like $150. Listen, I love fashion. I do. No, and, you know, there were, I got to see Lea Michele and Funny Girl.
So did I. Fantastic.
I literally
was, when they, I was just talking about this last night. I literally was in the middle of buying, stop looking at them. I was at a summer camp.
Yeah.
And it was the middle of the night. And I was, they had just announced that Beanie Feldstein was leaving.
Yep.
And
oh, then there I did see Beanie also.
You did? I just.
Listen, I, Broadway.
I love Beanie Feldstein. But I was like, well, should I buy tickets? Because, like, they're probably going to sell out if Lea Michele is on. And then I was like, no, you're being crazy right now. It's like 2 a.m. You need to go to bed because you literally are at a summer camp and have a full day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to bed. The next day, I am doing some activity with the kids. And I get the notification, Lea Michele is going to be on Broadway in the revival of Funny Girl. And I drop everything. I leave the kids and I'm like, I'm buying the
tickets.
I bought the two tickets, had no clue how I was going to get to New York.
No way.
Like,
were you here at the time?
I lived here. And I was like, I have no clue how I'm going to get there, but I had bought them for October, which was around my birthday. And so I was like, we have a few months to figure it out and I'm going to figure it out. So I literally flew up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from.
Okay.
And my friend, her grandparents live in Long Island. So I flew to Pittsburgh, drove 6 hours to Long Island, then took the train into the city. And that was like all within the span of like 24 hours or 48 hours. New York was within the span of 24 hours. It was the most chaotic thing ever, but it was so worth it.
Wow.
And Lea Michele can sing. She can sing. Yeah.
That girl can sing.
Yep.
For real.
Can't read, but can sing.
Wow. Yeah. That is such commitment.
Yeah.
And I would too.
Yes.
Devastated that I didn't get to see Mean Girls. Devastated.
I really
the fact
that
Renee Rapp and Sabrina Carpenter were in one show
together.
I
didn't realize that for a long time.
Makes me want to die. It was three shows, I think, that they did before COVID shut down.
I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we'll talk plenty about Sabrina Carpenter later.
No, of course. Wait, are you a Libra?
I am. That's funny. Oh, well, wait.
You said October. But I was like, you do give off such Libra energy.
Okay, I was like, wait, how'd you guess that?
Listen, not to be just such an astrology girl, but I have a Libra moon, so I get it.
Okay. I'll be honest, I don't know anything about
astrology. Fantastic.
Astrology.
Well, you give off Libra, that's all you need to know. And it's a good thing.
Good to know. Okay, so I was reading some of the articles. Like, you've done a lot of articles, which is really, really cool.
Thank you.
In a lot of articles. And I really like just how you're kind of talking about everything, like how you are always doing these things, you're in law, which takes a lot of hard work. Everything takes a lot of hard work, but
yes,
that especially that's completely over my head. And in one of the articles, you just really mentioned how much you love learning. And what I really like about that, you talked about like learning the process of music and like not all artists are open to that or are mindful of that and are just kind of like, well, I just want to play music. It's like, okay, yeah, but there's a lot of steps that go in between these two things. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, yeah.
And then I just wanted to read a couple quotes. You said, I have a unique ability to look at both all sides of a situation, having been through a wide variety of experiences in my personal life, which is what it sounds like, which helps me help others and connect with people, which I think is very evident. Everyone makes music, this is from a different article.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone makes music to be harder than other professions. And in some way, you have to deal with personal rejections because you feel like it's rejecting you, your views, your opinions, and your personality, which I think is a really like honest way of looking at it because music is so vulnerable and you have to be so open. And when someone is mean about it, it hurts. But I think you're doing a really great job at like being self-aware in that and being open to all the experiences that come with being a musician.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I try to be. And like you were saying, like I do really love to learn about all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I totally get why some people don't want to, you know what they don't want to know. But I think it's also helpful.
Yes.
Even if you're not super interested in it, I think it's always helpful.
100%.
I always say like, okay, I'm at a show. I don't know anything about live sound. I'm in the middle of nowhere. The sound engineer is nowhere to be found. If I know the basics, I can try to at least problem solve and fix my problem. I don't like to be fully reliant on other people, just mm-hmm. because I know that there's always going to be a scenario mm-hmm. in which you're going to have to problem solve. You're going to have to do something for yourself. And I think, I don't know, that's one of the reasons why I really like to learn a little bit about every aspect. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's just interesting. I think everything's connected. Everything is always mm-hmm. connected, truly, even if you don't see the way it's connected. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I don't know. And yeah. I think the more you understand about production or marketing or behind the scenes or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. whatever you're understanding, or the business side of things or the way royalties work, the more you can connect the dots to why people do different things, how things work, why people feel the way they do, or like, you know, let's say you're signed to a label and they won't let you release the song that you want to release. Well, they're looking at that from a business perspective. They're not looking at that from an artist perspective. And if you can understand both, then you can, well, you can first of all explain the song in a way that makes sense to a business mind and say, hey, listen, I hear what you're hearing. I hear what you're saying. This is why I think it will do well. Because it's authentic to me, because X, Y, you know what I mean? Because it's the time of this, and this is really popular in the media, whatever you're going to say. But I think understanding that, basically, moral of the story, it'll help you to understand where other people are coming from. Just in every aspect.
That's such a good point. I see why you were in law. You have like a very good like head on your shoulders and like a good way of viewing the world and viewing this whole experience of being an artist, because it's like you said, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And I think like you have a lot of the tools and resources and ability, and the fact that even just when you first moved here, you're like, okay, it's time to start meeting everyone that I know. And I saw like one of your Instagram posts, like you had met so many industry people within the first month or so of living here. And I think that's the sign of like a good and eventually very successful artist. So like I'm excited to like see you grow. Thank you. And I see the potential. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back talking all about her discography.
Woo!
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
We have had an amazing conversation with Julia. I was just telling her, like, you just have such a good outlook on this profession. But she was saying like it's taken her a lot of work to get here. So just always what we say, it's all about the long game of this profession and projects, and really putting all of your hard work into it. But we're grateful that you're here and that you're using us and her and all of our other guests as resources and tools. And if you want to follow more, you can always hit up our socials at successfully_unsigned, at Unsigned Podcast on TikTok, or you can hit up our website, su-podcast.com. So, Julia, I really want to talk about your discography, because
please, let's do it.
I love it so much. So, your first single, which came out in 2023,
mm-hmm.
Taxi Light.
Yes.
Is everything to me. First off,
I loved your video today.
Yes, I posted. The song came on shuffle. Actually, I took that video last night, but I didn't post it today. But the song came on shuffle because I was listening to some music, and I was like, "Oh wait, we're literally interviewing her tomorrow." And so, like, I just did my thing and sang along to it.
Yes.
So I have my taxi socks on.
Oh my god.
And then I was trying to think, I wish I used to have this giant obnoxious like elephant hat.
No.
And I was gonna wear it, but I don't have it anymore. I think I gave it away.
Dang.
But I wish I would have known.
I know, right? I did find a picture or a cartoon once of an elephant in a taxi, and I feel like I just think that's really cool.
Everything's connected.
Everything is connected.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Yes.
Exactly. And then for almost but not quite, you have the Domino's. I also used to have a Domino shirt, but I do have a Domino tattoo, though.
No way!
So, yeah.
Oh, works. I just knew, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I just knew, yeah.
Yeah, but there's like little pearls on your Domino's that you have, so I wore some pearls. Oh. And then I have a Taylor Swift bracelet, because I know you like Taylor Swift, and then...
That's so sweet of you!
I also have a Massey 99 bracelet, because they gave it to me, and I love them, and I know love them, and yes. You were in their music video, Spin the Bottle.
I was.
Massey 99, shout out to them. I love them so much. I finally got to see them live.
No way.
They were amazing.
Yes.
They were so amazing.
They are.
And they were so
funny.
Sweet. They were
so they're
sweet.
Great. They're fantastic.
Okay, your music, though.
Yes,
that's what we're here to talk about.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so you came out with a bang with Taxi Light. Like,
I did.
It was your lyrics and your wordplay. And now, like, talking to you, like, for, like, obviously we've talked before, mm-hmm. but just the one time.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I guess the two times Dawn's pool party.
Yes.
But, like, really getting to talk to you. I now kind of see, like, you just have a very good vocabulary. And so your lyrics and your wordplay is, it's just so good. But unfortunately, this is not a buffet. Apology served a la carte is so good. It's so good. That is my favorite line.
It's so funny because everyone has picked up, well, not everyone, but like a lot of people have picked out that line as one of their favorites.
Good.
And you know what's so funny is like, and, you know, no hate to my friend, I love you. But I showed my lyrics to my friend. She was like, I don't really get it. It doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know what you know, I wouldn't keep it in. And I was like, it's silly and I like it. I'm just going to keep it in.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being so many people's favorite line. So, I mean, trust yourself is kind of the moral of the story.
There we go. That it's so true. Like, it's, I don't know. It's a genius line. It's so good. And just how you deliver it to is so good as well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, just really the whole thing. And so did you like grow up writing a lot, like writing songs or like poetry or journal? Or I don't even know. Did you just write a lot growing up? Or do you just kind of have this vocabulary?
I mean, I did write a lot.
Okay.
I mean, I wrote a lot in college because my major was very writing focused.
Right.
But, you know, as a kid, when I was really younger, I read a ton.
Okay.
Obviously, gotcha. As you grow up, you're like, you divide your time in different ways, and yeah. I didn't read as much then. But I don't know. I think it also kind of comes with the I love to learn aspect. So I love, I don't know, this is going to sound so lame, but like, I love watching documentaries, and I mm-hmm. love like spending my free time. I mean, I like to rest my brain as well,
but
I love spending my free time learning things. But yeah, so I did grow up writing. I mean, I grew up doodling in my notebook. In middle mm-hmm. school, I was writing all the time. Were any of those any semblance of good? Absolutely not,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then throughout college, like on and off, really on and off, I was writing. But again, I mean, you're kind of like, you read your stuff and you're like, oh, like, it didn't immediately come to me, this perfect song. I can't mm-hmm. write a song. And then you say, okay, wait, there's a little bit of an art to this, right? Mm-hmm. Let me think about the lyrics that I like. Let me think about why I like them. Let me think about different lyric styles. There's people who are very poetic with the way they say things. Mm-hmm. There's people who are very witty. There's people who do, you know, wordplay and... There's also, like, I mean, they're just literary devices, really. Are literary devices? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think, yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. My mind blank. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, they're...
Did you, like, listen to a lot of rap growing up?
No, I didn't.
It's just, I don't know. Like, to me, it's... I'm not a songwriter. I'm not mm-hmm. in music. But, like, I'm not, like, in the artistry of music.
Right.
But I'm just like, how you even like come up with like these quick quips or like witty lines is just so interesting to me.
Yeah. I really like a clever line and I try to be witty. Mm-hmm. to, you know, have something that I just think it's interesting. I mean, I want people to pick up on it. I don't want it to be too like in the weeds for people to not understand.
Right.
But I do like when you kind of understand it more and more as you listen to it or you
yeah.
pick up on different little things.
Yes.
It's like rewatching your favorite movie, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of, the more I learned about songwriting and the more I really said, okay, you know what? I'm sitting down and I'm trying this, and I'm trying this seriously. I'm trying this as something that I was also like really determined. I was like, I am going to release a banger song. I'm going to put money into it. I'm going to put time into it. And if I'm going to do this, frankly, I was like, if I'm going to write a song about something real, it's got to be really good. You know, like if I'm going to release this and people are going to hear it, and maybe people in my life are going to maybe know some semblance of what it's about. Like, it has to be really good.
And you did that.
I appreciate you that. I tried my hardest.
Well, that kind of like brings me to like the subject matter. So I was, like I said, I was reading some articles, and specifically one about it. It's playing on the cab theory, which I had never heard of this. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of explain what that is and like how that plays into the song?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's also kind of like I was in New York, taxi lights, right. You know
the
what
visual,
I mean?
The visual, what is it called? The visualizer?
This, the canvas, like yes, video the for canvas. Spotify. Yeah.
And she's like in a bunch of taxis in New York. It is amazing. Well, like it's, you know, so it's simple, so but it's so good.
I appreciate that. It was so funny because, oh gosh. And you know, when you're doing everything yourself, things happen last minute, whatever. I got my lovely friend Izzy. We got, you know, a nice camera, what, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we went to Columbus Circle. I was like, I want a video of me hailing a cab and getting in the taxi. But you can't really hail a cab and then be like, just kidding, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you mind if I... So we paid this guy $10 or whatever it was. And we were like, hey, can you just like drive around the circle and like let me get a video? And then we were like, hey, so can you turn the light on? Okay, turn it off. Okay, turn it on one more time. And I just like, this guy, that's this incredible. Poor cab driver was just like, what is going on right now?
That's incredible. I mean, it works. It works so it well.
I think I had about 11 minutes of footage or something at the end that I chopped down into 8 seconds. So it took me a long time to make that one.
Okay.
But, you know, for what it is, for the 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That is. But anyway, yeah, that was really fun. But sorry, what was the question?
The cab theory.
Right.
And how it plays into the song.
So true. What was the question? Yeah. So, okay. So, cab theory, I actually didn't realize that it was originally from Sex and the City. So,
okay.
I think that's where it originated.
Okay.
And they're talking about how, well, I mean, they talk about how it's guys, maybe can happen for women too, but just for the context of this, you know, guys, they kind of are doing whatever they're doing and they're either ready to settle or they're not.
Okay.
And you could be the perfect person, and if the light is not on, if they're not open,
to
you know,
settle,
then it's just not going to happen because, well, it, you know, it's just not
the taxi
what it is.
Light
yeah.
is not on,
and the taxi light is not on, and I think sometimes, I mean, people don't even realize it too, but yeah, so I guess it's just kind of the theory that when it's on, it's on. And it can just literally be like that. So it can mm-hmm. be like one day, you know, they're like, nah. And then it just clicks the next day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm ready now.
Yep.
But I think the other part is that it can just be so fast, too.
Yes. And so you were experiencing this?
I guessed.
Yeah.
That I was experiencing this.
You guessed it. Well, I do also love the ending. Love the ending of where
Thank
you're like,
you.
I'm not here to judge. I am. It's so
well,
good too.
I knew I wanted to do like a little funny spoken thing at the end. And I was in the studio with my producer. And we were just like joking around. And I was like, all right, can I just do a bunch of takes? Of just saying something. I didn't know what I was going to say, but
That's
I was
smart.
Like, all right, can we just go? So we were going. And then I was like, I'm not here to judge. And then I looked at him and I was like, well, I am.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happened naturally that way. But we were both laughing. We were like, that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
It worked. So it worked really well.
That was a very, I didn't plan to say that. And I think you can kind of hear that in my voice, I guess.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so the next song that you released was called No, I Do.
Mm-hmm.
Another banger. So, A, what is the movie that plays in the beginning? Or is it a movie or a TV show or what?
Listen, I don't even know. Okay. I actually don't know. But I love like old Hollywood.
Yeah.
I love
Audrey Hepburn, is it? Or do you know?
I have no idea,
okay.
to be honest
it
with you.
It sounds like her.
Yeah, it could. Yep, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And I was just searching, like, being just kind of being unsure about a guy situation or whatever it is. And yeah, the clip I found was like, "You do love me, don't you? I have to think about it." Like, so I thought that was kind of a funny little intro.
Yes. For,
I mean, it's, I was trying to like call it the indecision anthem. Like, it's my little indecision anthem.
Yeah, like, what are you so confused about?
Yeah, I mean, whether or not to pursue something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a really good, like, outlet for it. Like, should I do this?
Let's try it out. Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't, like, it was just kind of something I thought of, really. Mm-hmm. It's not super deep.
Okay.
But it was also around the
time. I'm very indecisive, so, like, relatable, though.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I think I was like, yeah, okay, this could apply to any indecision, mm-hmm. really. But yeah, so that's kind of, I recorded the vocals when I was in LA.
Okay.
I brought my, you know, my SM7B and my little Volt converter or whatever, and recorded the vocals in a closet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my friend's,
really cool.
My friend's closet in LA. Yeah, that's what it, then that's how it happened.
Hey, I mean, there you go, like, artists, any resource that you can find, mm-hmm. you can find a way to figure it out.
It definitely helps that I had an incredible producer, so that definitely helped. But yeah, I was
kind of... And that's all about the networking. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I actually found him, the first producer I worked with, because I was going through songs that I really liked their production, and I was looking at the credits on Spotify.
We always suggest doing that. That's really smart.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, I have no idea who's going to reach out, but it's kind of a numbers game. Let's see who, you know, responds. That's actually how I met another producer in LA. I didn't end up working with him, but I did see him when I was out there, and he was wonderful and very kind. But yeah, you just never, I mean, he also produced or like co-produced things for Renee Rapp, which I thought was so sick.
That's very cool, yeah.
Because you don't know who is going to respond to you. 100%. Like the producer I worked with for those first few singles won a Grammy. Did I think he was going to respond to me? Random girl messaging him, like, doesn't even live in Nashville. No, I did not expect either of them to respond. But it's kind of funny because sometimes it's the people you least expect to respond who do. And I think that taught me a lesson in things are more accessible than you think they are.
That is so true. And I've really come to realize that, like, being more involved in the music industry, mm-hmm. of how much, like, if I had told myself, like, 5 years ago, that I would be like meeting some of the people that I am, I would have been like, how though?
Yeah.
And like, it's not like we're some huge podcast,
right?
With a ton of resources, but you're right. Like, it's so easy to meet and find people and networking and taking chances.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%.
Okay. So the next one that you had was called The One Before the One,
mm-hmm.
Which is like really different from the rest of your discography. And you describe it as a nostalgic look at what it means to be the growing pains girlfriend.
Yep.
Once again, just so beautifully said.
Appreciate that.
So like, is this something that you've also experienced a lot or okay. Oh, the face.
I think it's something that a lot of people kind of experience, especially around this age when, you know, people are getting engaged, people are settling down, people are X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's past the time of like past the time of your first relationship, mm-hmm. or past the time of, you know, like, I don't know. It's just a different time. I was kind of reflecting on a previous relationship and kind of thinking about what that meant. Kind of, it was more of a reflective moment. And I think it's also interesting because I'm someone who asks myself all these questions. And mm-hmm. that was, you know, like a year and a half ago is like mm-hmm. when all of that was, you know, when I was thinking about that, whatever. And it's interesting because you can still be sad about something and not want them back. You can still be sad about something because it makes you think about the place in your life that you are. And mm-hmm. I was kind of like, man, like this person that I was once really close with is now like seems to be progressing in life. And I was starting over.
Yes.
So I think that I don't know. Yeah, it kind of just like took me a second and I was thinking about it. And I was thinking about this concept of like, oh man, like I was the person you kind of went through all these hard things with. And there was so much uncertainty and so many challenges and, you know, distance and like all of these different factors. And, you know, starting a career and whatever. And it's like, wow, like I went through all that and I did all that and I taught you all that I taught you.
And you get the good outcome.
Right, right. And now you're in this new relationship and it was probably, I mean, of course you're assuming this, but like it's probably pretty easy. You probably, you know, you right. took everything that I taught you, mm-hmm. the perspectives and things that, like, you know, and then are like just with the next person. And yeah. like it was all, I think it just hit me how soon it was mm-hmm. after.
And like, it's hard to, because I know you mentioned like this just kind of something a lot of 20 people in their 20s
yeah.
face. And it's very hard. Your 20s are hard. Like your 20s are hard. And I don't know. It's a very beautiful message and like to be so vulnerable. And so I almost feel like it like almost ties in Taxi Light. Like Taxi Light is like the fun version of this. And yeah. then this is like the, oh no, like this is actually really yeah. an upsetting, sad situation.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. But then you amped it back up mm-hmm. about this. So your first song since you've lived in Nashville / mm-hmm. of this year
yes.
was Elephant in the Room.
Yeah.
Dale. and I think your marketing is genius, which it's so funny. Earlier you said like, I don't think I would enjoy marketing, but this is really at this point before you released Elephant in the Room, I had met you. Yeah. And like we followed each other on Instagram, but I don't think you were posting a ton. And mm-hmm. then you started teasing this song with all these like memes or like pictures of just like elephants in different places or like different pictures of elephants. And I was like, what's going on here? And, but it caught my attention. And then you started teasing the sound of it. And when I'm telling you, that song was stuck in my head for like weeks before it even came out. And it's so catchy. It's really good. Like, I love Elephant in the Room. And it really is like what got me kind of hooked on you as an artist. And ever since then, every time you tease a song, like, it gets me pumped. And you're
so
like,
kind.
You're just how you tease songs and how you get people to like tag on and be interested. And just how, you know, obviously social media is. Yeah, I'm only seeing it through that lens, but mm-hmm. like how it seems how your friends get excited about it too, and like texts or pictures that you share of people being like, oh, hey, look, there's an elephant. I barely even knew you, and I literally sent you some meme that I saw on Instagram that of an elephant from Barbie.
Yeah, and I was yes, just like,
oh, yes, I'm sorry. Like, I know you don't know me, but this literally reminds me of you because it said, like, the elephant in the room. Me,
yes.
And it was the Barbie. Like,
and it's
cursed.
It's the kind of thing, it's like the new car phenomenon where you just, like, when you're thinking about it, you start to see it everywhere, right?
Yes.
So everything I was looking at was saying elephant in the room. Everywhere had elephants. I was like, is there really this many elephants in the
yeah.
world? Like, decorations and
yes.
people. Freaking LinkedIn had a post and I was like, okay, yeah, even like Newport, Rhode Island is also an important place to me, and they had like an elephant sculpture exhibit this summer or something like that. I was like, mm-hmm. what's going on? But yeah, my approach to marketing, I guess, is really like, if I'm not having fun, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah.
That's
great.
So let's just be as silly as possible,
yes.
have as much fun as possible. If I put my pressure or put the pressure on myself to look perfect and be perfect and have the highest quality camera and the highest quality marketing and whatever, I mean, it's just, it's going to be really hard to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? This song is about an elephant. I don't need to explain it in every post I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I can Photoshop an elephant on my couch.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to look into it, they will.
Yeah.
And if not, they'll just be like, this girl's a freak. And that's okay. So.
It works so well. And like you said, I mean, elephant in the room is a very common phrase. Like, that is also very, like, people know what you're talking about without
yeah.
having to go listen to Elephant in the Room. Like, go listen to all her music. I'm serious. I love all her songs.
Jeez.
But you'll kind of know what we're talking about. But yeah, I really wanted to highlight the marketing in this because that's really what started making me pay attention to you. And also, can I ask why there wasn't an elephant in the album or cover?
I thought about it. And I kind of was like, it might be a little too on the nose.
Okay.
I didn't want it to be cheesy. I did actually see this picture in a bathroom of like a monkey with sunglasses lounging on a chair. And I was like, if I could have photoshopped an elephant lounging on a chair with sunglasses next to me lounging on a chair with sunglasses, I would have done that.
Yeah.
But I did not have the resources at the time and we were on a little bit of a time crunch to get it in. But I was also like, well, elephant in the room, like the song is very like suspenseful. There's a lot of tension. There's like a lot of what's going to happen. Who's going to say it when, you know, elephant in the room. And I also love things having to, I don't know. Is this weird to say? I like time. I like mirrors. I don't know why.
Okay.
Those are things that I like. Anyway, it had to do with time because you're kind of like, when are they going to say it? So I found this clock at a vintage store, a thrift store somewhere. And I said, you know what? What if I drag this around? Like I'm kind of, you know, symbolic about the time, you know, so that's kind of how that happens.
It works really well. Like I love the sound of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're obviously your voice and just all of it, all the lyrics of course too.
I'll tell you one more thing about it, about how we shot the cover. Is we were driving around and I did not know where I was going to shoot this cover, and we drove by this really pretty building and I don't know, kind of reminded me of New England. I was like, this is really cool. This is my vibe. And we just walked around. Was it a campus? I don't even, what was it? Was it a church?
It looked like a church or something.
Okay. But it might, yeah, it might be a church. But okay, so we were respectful. We were respectful. Although that clock was, oh my God, it was so loud when I was dragging it behind me. It was so loud. But anyway. Yes, yeah, so we were kind of, I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted the clock. I didn't end up using a cover with my face or my necklace in it, but I did have a necklace of all clocks on it, which.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, would have been cool. But next time, yeah. So anyway, that's the story of.
So okay, with this being your first song coming out while you lived in Nashville, what was a lot of the work on it in Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so. Like, did you see good reception with people that you knew in Nashville? Like, what was that experience of, like, transitioning from these past songs being recorded, released elsewhere to now this is my first song this year, first song in Nashville, in new life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had met a lot of people in Nashville, so it was really cool, especially because I'd met a lot of musicians, obviously, or, you know, artists. To get their support. And, you know, it was funny because I would go out to shows and whatever, and I'd run into people or, I don't know, people that I really knew or kind of knew, and they'd be like, oh, I've seen your elephant. So I think the reception for the marketing was surprisingly, like, really good.
Yes.
For me just doing what I wanted to do with it. It's so funny. People are always like, be authentic in your marketing. Me being authentic is
silly, though. It's silly. I think that's what the world needs a lot of times, and like, I think this it just fits really well with your music. Okay, well, I do want to talk about the rest of your songs, but we are gonna have to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys. You have 2 more songs.
Yes.
And the one somewhat recent one is Almost But Not Quite,
yes.
Which I'm telling you, when you drop this song, I was already excited for it and anticipating it because, like I said, your marketing was really good. Like, basically what she was doing is a lot of her pictures that she was posting, like, were half blacked out. And like, she just had all these dominoes and stuff. Like, it just, there was something about it that just worked so well. And I listened to the song, jaw on the floor, like, genuinely, because it brought so many surprises. Like, I did not expect the, like, kind of punky, like, breakdown that sort of happened. Yeah. I guess sort of like Olivia Rodrigo of it all. Yeah. Like, it worked, but I fully did not expect that just listening to your other music. And I was like, oh, this is really good. I think it's my favorite song of yours. That or Taxi Light. Those are my top two. But I do love all of them. But yeah, the marketing is perfect on that one. So, and it's just like it's another one of those things where it's like such a good phrase, like almost, but not quite. I don't even know how to.
I feel like a lot of my titles you can kind of say in real life, I guess. Yes. They just find their way into conversations.
Yes.
Like, potentially, oh, potential, or, yeah, you know, yeah, like, I was almost there, but not quite. Like, you know, yeah, like, they kind of come up into conversations.
Yes, it just, this something so good about it. And then you also made, like, a bunch of different versions of it. So you had Almost But Not Quite Too Fast, Almost But Not Quite Too Slow, Almost Not Quite Too Quiet.
Yes, I did do that.
Can I ask, did you just do that because you're like, oh, this will be fun?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know how Spotify works, but I was like, I'm supposed to keep releasing stuff, right? And my next one wasn't ready.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? Let's throw this out there. I had that cool picture.
Yeah, it was cool.
The camera kind of like glitched and did that.
Yeah.
So it worked. I was like, all right, let's do that. And also, I mean, you hear songs on TikTok and, you know, they have
sped
all the different
versions.
And there were a lot of background vocals and really sick harmonies that I was like, oh, this could be really cool as an a cappella version. Mm-hmm. And you can hear it. And I also just thought it was kind of comical because obviously for that heavy guitar part, that's what you hear in the regular version. And then in the a cappella version, there's just like this really long silence.
At first I was like, oh, did she cut the song short?
No. Yeah, it was, I don't know. I just think that's funny.
It was fun.
I think weird things are funny.
Do you have like a ranking of them? All the different versions?
I almost like the slow one a little better. But
me too.
Okay, sick.
Yeah.
I've had people say that they like the fast version
better.
That
one's good, yeah.
But it's interesting how it changes the song. I thought that was really interesting, especially with all the different changes that are going on. But I think the other thing, too, is just with the song in general, is I really wanted, for as much as you could think it's disjointed, it really has pieces that that tie in together. Like the beginning has this, you know, ramping up sound, mm-hmm. and you hear that really short and slightly quieter, but like going into the bridge. So that kind of comes back around because it doesn't, you know, like so it kind of ties in. And then, you know, the guitar, the vamp is here, and at the end. But it was really cool because what we did is we made the verses less simple with the instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, more simple. We made the verses simpler with the instrumentation, but we made them louder and bigger as the song went on. And the same thing with the choruses. So the choruses were smaller and then getting bigger each time. So each chorus is different and each verse is different, which I think is really interesting.
Okay. Yeah. It works really well. It, like I said, it's one of my favorites. I do actually really like the Too Quiet version.
Yeah, it's cool to hear how it all interacts.
Yes, it honestly did help me catch a lot of like vocals that I wouldn't have caught mm-hmm. otherwise.
Yeah.
So what is there anything that like inspired the song specifically?
I think I got the idea for this when I was in LA actually. But I was really frustrated because I was, you know, reaching out to a ton of people, as one does, and I wasn't getting responses. And I also didn't really know how the music industry worked. So mm-hmm. I thought, you know, oh, 10 days have gone by. They're never going to respond to me. Whereas now I'm like, oh, I understand how things work. And I, too, am busy. And I, too, see messages and sometimes, like, you know,
yeah,
because it's a lot to keep track of. There's a lot of different parts. It's not just like one email inbox with one corporate job. Mm-hmm. It's like there's here, 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 here. So at the time, I was kind of like, man, like, no one's responding to me. I'm like really out here in LA. I'm trying to meet people. I'm trying to talk to people. And I was like, man, I would do anything. I would do what, like, if they wanted me to, like, be a table for them as they ate off my back, like, I would do that because I just want to get to the next step. I just want to have some progress. And yeah, so I was like, I would do anything. And then I was like, okay, well, no. I would do almost anything to get to the next step. And yeah, and so then I just from there, I was like, let's just make this playful and funny. And but the concept is really like I would do anything to just get there, to have people see me, to have people see my music, to, you know, really give me one chance, because when I can if I can talk to you, I will convince you. Or that's what my mindset was, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, I mean, like, I convinced a producer to let me shadow him for like 7 hours when I was out there, because I was like, can we work together? Can we work together? And he was like, listen, I just really don't have time, whatever. I was like, okay, that's fair. That's fair. What if I shadowed you? You know, like, so it's those things where you're just like very persistent.
You just have to be annoying sometimes.
Sometimes you
really do.
You have to be that squeaky wheel.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Because like the worst that they're going to do is block you.
Right.
And then,
right,
guess what? Like you're not working with them either way. So,
right, you know,
is what it is.
But sorry.
No,
my one last thought on this is like the actual deeper meaning is truly though, if you are sacrificing your integrity to get somewhere, once you get there, you're not going to like who you are. So
that is,
it's not going to feel accomplished. You know, you're not going to feel accomplished if you're truly sacrificing, like, you know, you're hanging out with people who are actually just terrible humans to get to where you know what I mean? In the end, everything is going to work out how it's going to work out. And yeah, so that's like the actual deeper meaning.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of thinking about it. And even just how you say it, like, I almost compromised my morals for it, almost but not quite. It's so like, oh, I just love your songwriting so much. I just love your songwriting so much. So you write for others, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so can you talk about that a little? Well, yeah, talk about that and then we'll get into potential.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I discovered that I actually really, really love writing for other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got here, the way that I was getting in sessions is people would have sessions already set up with producers that they knew. I didn't really know a lot of people when I got here. And so they would say, you know, I had this one write, and he was like, oh, this is the best write I've had in a while. Like, let me introduce you to this person. So then I was introduced to that person. They were like, wait, oh my gosh, we write really well together. Like, come to this session and this session and this session. So I actually got to know, that's how I met a lot of producers.
Okay.
And then I realized that writing for other people, you don't have to think about what you want or what you like or how you're portraying yourself or what other people are going to think of you if you say this or X, Y, and Z. You can just kind of write. And you of course run into the issue that, you know, sometimes maybe you love a line and somebody else, you know, the artist doesn't love the line, but it's cool. It's almost like having a client. It's almost like being a therapist. It's almost like, you know, but it's great because I love talking to people. I love getting to know people. And I always just kind of start with like, hey, like, what's going on in your life? Like, you know, and I think that's really important to get to know someone before you write with them, because what are you going to sit down and be like, so here's my deepest, darkest, like, you know, like, let's write about this, when you don't, you know, have that. You need to create a space where people feel comfortable to talk and be open. And I think a lot of the time you end up finding something that you relate on or connect on. And it doesn't have to be the exact same scenario, but it could be, oh, that feeling of feeling rejected because of X, Y, and Z. So yeah, I kind of got into writing for other people pretty happenstance. And then I really did fall in love with that as well, and just ended up writing for more and more people. And people
That's
said,
really
"Here,
cool.
here's my friend." And then I would hear people's music and hear songs, and I'd be like, "Oh man, like I really love their voice or I love their style. I'd love to write with them. So I, you know, started reaching out a lot to other people to write with them. Reached out to, you know, a manager to say, hey, if you have people that, you know, you think I would write well with, like, please let me know. So, yeah, it just kind of progressed from there.
Are you hoping or are you open to that being like a professional thing that you do eventually?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, my main goal is to be an artist.
Right.
But I don't think, I think it would be like in my ideal scenario, I would be an artist. I would, you know, have my tour circuit and live my life and eventually write for other people as kind of the, I mean, when I'm a bit older, but write for other people as kind of the full-time thing and then, you know, do a tour every once in a while. I mean, that's, that's the ideal. That's the dream.
Yeah, like reverse Meghan Trainor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so your latest single is Potential. Literally just came out, like, what, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that's correct.
And definitely, like, the sound of it is, like, you released at a very good time. Like, it's very Sabrina Carpenter-esque, and I mean that in a, as a compliment, I know you love her.
Yes, I do.
But I also don't want people to think, like, I'm always comparing songs or whatever. But I think it works very well for the time that you have put it out. And I another article that you did, you said, I forget what you said before, but you said, I'm falling for the potential, and sometimes that can be charming, too. Mm-hmm. And I just really love that because it's so true. Sometimes we almost like fall for the act of the charming or love or relationship of it rather than the actual person.
Right.
And so I really appreciate that. I also love that you referenced Almost But Not Quite in there.
Which I did do a little cameo.
I didn't catch that until I read your article. I was like, oh, I'll have to ask you about that. And then I was listening to it in the car. And I was like, oh, there it is. I heard it. So,
just like a little spoken part.
Yes. Go stream Potential and look for the Almost But Not Quite reference. Yeah. So like, has that been getting good reception?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I showed it to some of my friends from Holman College and they were like, oh, like, this is my favorite one you've done so far. I mean, everyone has their own favorite or their own
preference. I love the picture of like all your friends streaming it like right when it came out.
Yeah, we were at Red Door and I was like,
get it on.
Come on, guys. Everyone was a good sport about it. But yeah, no, it's been getting great reception. I think it's just like a really fun bop. I mean, I don't know. Do people still say that? I don't know. But thank you. Yeah. No, I just think it's a really fun song. It's got the steady like and you know, it's chill if you're driving a car or listening to in the shower, like, you know, like whatever you're doing, it's just kind of an easy listen. Mm-hmm. But I also actually, I had a write recently and the girl came in and she was like, I was listening to Potential and I really love like how you did so many vocal stacks and how many like all the like background vocals and whatever. And I was like, yes, because that's what I was trying to do. I really wanted it to have more than just like, you know, the same old harmonies and whatever. I wanted it to have like little bits and pieces that you kind of heard and unexpected background vocals and whatever. So yeah,
did you all the little ad libs and stuff, did you just like kind of come up with those offhand? Okay.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of your songs are really like connected in themes. I mean, work really well for like an album. Is that a future possibility or
maybe
potentially almost
it's almost there.
Okay. Almost but not quite.
yeah absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, like I said, it does kind of remind me of Sabrina Carpenter. You're inspired by a lot of greats like Amy Winehouse, which I very much see even just like in the lyricism. Arianator for since day one.
Yep.
How long have you been a carpenter?
Well, I've been sawing since that's such a terrible joke. Okay. No, I loved Emails I Can't Send.
Okay.
I was, of course, it's one of those things where you like, you tell all your friends, you're like, you have to listen to this album. It's so good. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. It's so raw. It has everything. And they're like, yeah, okay. And you're like, no, but you need to. Right. So I saw Sabrina in New York at Terminal 5, which is a pretty small venue. I saw Chapel Row at Webster Hall in New York, which was like,
very cool.
I don't know, under 1,000 people, wow. Whatever. I saw Renee Rapp in her first shows at Williamsburg. So I saw Ariana Grande at her concert when there was like 2,000 people or something.
The honeymoon tour?
The listening sessions.
Oh.
No, yeah, I know. I know. What can I say? I should be in A&R.
I'm jealous of you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I met Sabrina Carpenter. So, huh? I went.
When?
I was actually a huge fan of her in high school.
Which okay. is funny. So you went, you do.
Because I'm younger than her.
That's but, so funny.
She was still on Disney Channel and she had just released Evolution, her second album. But I was really obsessed with her first album. I did love Evolution. I will say I do not really listen to Evolution much anymore. I still listen on purpose. But her first album, Can't Blame a Girl for Trying.
Yep.
I still listen to that. A lot.
Yeah.
And I know she recently rejected her first, four albums or something?
Yeah, I think so. Bring Back Thumbs.
During the concert, she's like, I want everyone to do this. And I was like, okay, this is a little weird. Like, girl, come on. But, my parents, me and my cousin loved her. Mm-hmm. And our parents bought us tickets for our birthday. And then it surprised us with meet and greet tickets. And she was like, I love your shirt. And I was like, I love you. this girl's literally younger. I was probably one of the oldest people there. And I was 18.
You were the start. You were the renaissance. You were the,
I was. Yeah. Were, I'm like, yeah. And everyone being like, oh, Sabrina Carpenter, like she's coming out of nowhere. I'm like, no, she's been here.
No.
And like, I've been listening since day one. So, I appreciate your love for Sabrina Carpenter.
Absolutely.
And your love for like finding all these artists kind of before they got really big. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and phase right into our show and yell, unless you had anything else you want to bring up about your music. We'll ask about some future stuff after this. Okay.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
What's your item?
All right.
Oh, you got to yell it. Sorry. I know I said show and tell. I just realized we call it show and yell. So yell it.
You're on the floor. You're chuckling. What's going on?
Just yell it.
My necklace.
Yeah. I don't, which one is it?
Okay.
It just made a sparkly sound.
Oh, fantastic. Amazing. I don't know what's going on.
Okay,
I was not primed for this.
I know, I'm sorry. We usually like tell people before the break, but since we just kind of started.
No, it's even better. Okay. I like being startled.
Good. Okay, so what's special about your necklace? It's cute. It's pretty.
Well, my necklace, the little charm, belongs to my grandmother. It was my mom's mom. And her name was Rose, and there's like a little rose on here.
Oh, sweet.
And that's a lie because the actual charm that I'm talking about, I lost on vacation with my parents. And so I bought this to replace it. It's not the same. I felt off. I felt so, you don't
Wait,
understand.
Do your parents
I felt so,
know?
Yeah, they know.
Okay. I was about to be like, did you really just expose that on the podcast?
No. They know. My mom was not. I mean, she was sad. I was sad. I was so sad. Here's the worst part. Okay. So we're on vacation. It was in Greece, so not getting that back.
Yeah.
You know, I was leaning, I think something dropped. I was like leaning over and to pick something up. It was over a bush, okay? It was one of those like bushes with the lots of tentacles, okay? I told you I didn't know if this was gonna be good enough, but I knew exactly where it dropped, and every day for the rest of this vacation I would go to the bush and I couldn't find it. I was genuinely devastating because I was on eBay, I was on Etsy and Poshmark and whatever, but I did get two of these because they came in a set of two, and gave one to my mom, so now that is like cute
and you
sentimental.
Know, yeah, it has its own story now.
And the way I coped with that is I told myself that somebody was on vacation there and they were feeling really sad and their name was Rose and they just needed a sign that everything was going to be okay, and they found that charm and that's why it had to go there. So that's how that's what I told myself
good,
happened.
Good.
So that's what happened.
That's a cute show and yell. I don't know why you were like, oh, it's not very good. That, honestly, some people, like I said, literally some people are just like, oh, yeah, it's this. We get a lot of, like, guitars and such, which, I mean, those are good, too. Yeah. Like, those have a lot of memories. But I think that's a really unique story.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to do a little game. Have you ever played Spottle?
No.
Okay, so...
Is it like spin the bottle, but
no.
Spottle?
Shout out Massey 99, no.
I mean, I didn't think that's what we were playing, no, but that's kind of what it sounds like. No.
It's literally, you guess like...
Tell me it doesn't sound like... Spottle, spin, auto?
It's more like Spotify, oh. But... And you guess like an artist. So just name a random artist, like relatively,
right now?
Yeah, like relatively popular.
Oh,
and it'll start giving you clues as to if you're closer or not.
Okay, so Chapel Run.
Okay, it is a female solo pop artist, but they are not American, and their debut is before 2023.
So am I guessing, or is this an example of Chapel Run?
You get 10 guesses, yeah. So name a female solo pop artist that is not American.
That is not American? Dua Lipa?
That's a good guess.
Sometimes I forget that she's not.
Okay, so not American and not British, but the debut is sometime before 2017, so probably like somewhere between probably 2014, 2017-ish.
Listen, I'm going to let you know I'm going to be terrible at this game.
It's okay. I can help you out if we need to.
Okay. Not American. Debut before 2017.
Yes. Female pop.
Why was Dua Lipa the only one that I thought of? Okay. I need more information. I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling hot.
People get so nervous during this. I mean, it's okay. Actually, usually we have
because
like music,
you know,
that's like,
too?
Which it gets more intense.
Well, you know what it is too, is that I feel like because I'm an artist, I should know things. And so people are going to be like,
when the pressure's on.
Yeah. Billie Eilish is American.
She is American.
She's another person I thought of right now. The Beatles. No, just kidding. You guys, man, who else exists? Adele.
Well, she's British, right? Yeah. Non-American, but also not from the UK.
Oh. So then Dua Lipa doesn't count. Who's Australian? There's got to be an Australian person.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Why did Jay Brooks just come into my mind? Ariana Grande. All right, anyway.
Oh, wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, right?
Any guesses, y'all? Lord, that's
smart. Is she not American? No way.
It's Lord.
Did you say that?
Good job, Dale. Wait. Dale's usually terrible at this.
I was today years old when I discovered that Lord is not American.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, Royals is all about like her boring town in New Zealand. That in tennis court or teams, one of the two.
Man.
Are you a Lord girly? You
like,
should be if you're not.
A little? Like,
have you listened to Pure Heroine? Have you listened to Melodrama all the way through?
I have. Just not enough, probably.
Okay. I need, like, especially when you're like,
I'm not a hater.
No,
I know. You know,
when you're like feeling like mentally ill,
okay,
listen to it. And it's gonna make you feel worse.
Perfect.
But
sometimes you need a little wallow.
Yeah.
Don't wallow too much, folks.
Yes.
But a little wallow.
It was like Melodrama was like my anthem my freshman year of college.
Fantastic.
And I didn't know anyone. Okay, so what's next for Julia Adrian?
What is next for me? Yo, listen. I just said yo.
Any live shows? I want to see you perform live.
So I had a secret little round. Didn't tell anyone about it because...
Don't follow that advice, y'all.
Don't follow that advice. Okay, it was my first show back in 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was around?
It was around, okay. Yeah. So it was at it was with Three Ring Publishing. It was at the Omni Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And great venue, really cool. I don't know what it is about a raised stage, but it makes me feel more comfortable.
That's fair.
I think maybe because I'm not immediately making eye contact. I don't know. So I had that pretty recently. It was the other week, last week? I don't know.
Okay.
Time is a construct. But, sorry guys, the night gets on and on.
She's still coming off the adrenaline of
time
the
is
game.
A I'm getting off the overwhelm of not understanding that Lord was Australian or New Zealand, whatever. New Zealand. Okay. So what was I just talking about? Oh, live shows. I used to do a lot of live shows. I performed at like you know, St. Agrippina Fest in Boston, which is like a little Italian festival, and mm-hmm. Green Fest, and, you know, I did a bunch of shows, and then I did a lot of shows in college for a cappella. Like, we performed at Carnegie Hall, and mm-hmm. we performed, you know, at the governor's residence around holiday season, Christmas time. But yeah, it'd been a minute because it was COVID, so no shows were happening. And then I was in New York being a little law girly, and got here, and I was like, well, I really want to beef up my discography before I start doing live shows.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, I was like, I need to focus on one chunk, and then I can, you know, once I feel comfortable with that, I'll keep adding other mm-hmm. things in and other things mm-hmm. in, because I don't want to do everything mediocre mm-hmm. and spread myself too thin. I want to really understand this part and then kind of add on.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, when you do, let us know. We'll promote it, and we'll try and go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I will be doing a full band show on October 21st with Breaking Sound.
Okay.
They're giving the mic night, so.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, if be on the lookout for that. Well, where can people find you to be on the lookout for that and any new music? Because I'm sure you got some in the works.
Absolutely. Okay. So my Instagram is Julia Adrian Music. Julia, J-U-L-I-A, no G. And then Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, and then music, how you spell it.
M-U-S-I-C. I almost said K.
M-U-S-I-K. Yeah, Julia Adrian Music. I mostly post on Instagram. I have a TikTok. You can find my my little link in my bio on my Instagram, and then I'll show you mm-hmm. all the...
And she has a lot of articles that she's been on, so if you want to know more about her beyond just this podcast, you can check those out. And you, of course, can always hit us up. We're going to be doing a live session with her right after this. And so make sure to go check that out when it comes out this Friday. And hit up our website, su-podcast.com. All of our socials will be at successfully_unsigned. TikTok, we're at Unsigned Podcasts. And thank you guys so much as always. We'll be wrapping up this season pretty soon, but we got lots of great things coming up for next season. So make sure that you're following us everywhere. And as always, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate you, Julia. This was such a good interview. I think this will be really beneficial for a lot of artists. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I had fun.
Yeah.
I can talk all day.
Same here. Well, we did it. Good job.
Let's go.